Well, good afternoon, and from my super secret location.
Yes. Are you in the hidden bunker? Because it looks like you're in my living room.
Well, I don't want to say exactly where we may or may not be, for the forces of evil may be looking for us, but it's just listening. I'm down a place where there's lots of palm trees.
Lots of palm trees.
Yeah.
Okay. And an ocean.
And an ocean.
Okay.
And a border crossing and a huge naval reserve and lots of things to do and see.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And you're having a good time?
Absolutely. Very, very good time indeed.
Well,
Yeah.
he's Bob. I'm Tom. Welcome to the Border Poll Journal for our almost Christmas broadcast.
Yeah, don't know how it's going to work out, whether we'll be able to squeeze one more in before the end of the year or not, but we'll see.
Well, we'll work on it. So, what are you going to get for Christmas as news comes?
Well, I could shoot in a picture of the yacht that I saw out in the basin here, which would be kind of nice, but I'm figuring that I would drain my bank account just to turn it on, so.
Well, you know that I kind of envy you because we are having it's minus three or well, no, it's not. Actually, it says 34 Fahrenheit for our American pals. So what's
Wow.
that plus one? It's going to go down to minus three with a bit of snow. I don't think you'll get any of that in the hidden location.
No, they're supposed to be getting some rain here, but which I guess is unusual, but not unusual.
In your hidden location, would Gavin Newsom approve of rain?
Maybe. Maybe.
Oh, man. Well,
Yeah, we were talking pre-production on some of the stuff here, and I looked at all this stuff, and I just for the life of me could not figure out who has annoyed Santa more because there's no presence here. It looks like it's all lumps of coal.
here so. Here,
Cool.
so the news is not good this run up to Christmas. You would think that peace on earth and goodwill to men might get a little traction, but kind of not, doesn't look like it. Kind of not going to happen.
Well, we've talked about this before on many occasions, and the people that don't know the difference between a C clan and a K clan probably don't know the difference between peace on earth and peace of earth. So, it's a sad state of affairs, I think.
Well, thanks to our friends over at Redacted who sent us kind of the top headlines for the day and basically kind of sums up the week. The first one on the hit parade is that the COVID, a variant of COVID, is about to revisit, and it's called NU. Is it NJ1? Sorry,
Yeah,
and
NJ1.
NJ1 yet, and now apparently accounts for 20% of the cases in the United States. But the caveat is it doesn't seem to cause any severe illness. That's the evidence anyway that it shows. So it's one of those good news, bad news stories, I guess.
Well, that's true. And you sit back and you think, is it a good thing that it doesn't cause the problems or there's not the severe illness? Is this a sign that maybe it's working its way down to being less of a threat.
I
I don't
know.
think I can get rid of it, that's
With
for sure.
the passing of time, it's becoming less and less sort of the top of mind with regard to other issues that are kind of
Well,
in
it
the
had its
news.
kick in the cat for a couple of years, and now it was overtaken by events in the Ukraine, which has now been overtaken by the events in Gaza, which, by this time next week, who knows what will or will not be in the news.
Well, in that neck of the woods, you've got the Yemeni
Oh,
folks,
it's not.
firing missiles at ships, going through the Gulf of Aden or whatever, and they're talking about it having an impact on oil prices because, a huge percentage of the oil flows through there on these tankers. I think they said, I stand corrected, but something like 80% of the oil of the Middle East goes through there. So if you shut that puppy down, you're going to see oil prices spike next year.
Well, I guess it's the easy oil or the oil that some other country digs up. But I read something on the flyby news, and I think it was the day before yesterday, where it said that the U.S. has the biggest production in the world going on getting oil up and refining it. So I'm assuming that must be from within their own borders. You know darn well in Canada that it's not going to be ours, because if our government had its way, they'd be stopping that tomorrow. But
Well, they're doing a pretty good job of stopping it already through various
I think
other
this, you had
incentives.
mentioned before that, the Davos crowd, this is just another thing for them to hang their hat on and do a little fear mongering, or see if they can raise the price of oil up to, $80 a barrel, which it was 20 years ago, when we were only paying about 64 cents a liter. But
Oh yeah, this is. I think we're headed for some choppy waters there. I mean, in our list of issues for today's chat was that Malaysia has sanctioned cargo ships from Israel over Gaza. Now, I don't know how many cargo ships Israel actually owns,
yeah.
but you can see that this Gaza issue is spreading by metastasizing, as they say in medical circles. As a political virus that is starting to have some serious effects and impacts on other parts of the world, which in the case of Malaysia has of course a large Muslim population, so they would be like their neighbors in Indonesia, which is the largest Muslim population in the world population wise. That's really applying a lot of pressure on the economy of the countries that are taking one side or the other. War is always there's never any real winners and never any real losers, and particularly in the sort of wars we're talking about today.
I think the only thing I'd add to that is that I don't think that there's any winners. Everybody turns out to be a loser when it starts to this escalate
Although, as one of the things that makes no sense to me is one of the other things that is on our list of, gee, I don't get it, is that the UN adopted a resolution to stop glorifying Nazism yesterday in a vote 118 of 49. And the resolution was drafted by Russia and was opposed by, get this, the US, the UK, Canada, France, Spain, Germany, Italy, and Japan, as well as Ukraine, Georgia, and Latvia, Lithuania, and a handful of others. So apparently 49 countries in the UN have no problem glorifying Nazism.
And I read
Now,
that.
if
I
that
can't.
isn't the screwiest headline, and the point of their voting against it, of course, because they're all weasels when it comes to this. This is a weasel resolution because the Russians drafted it. Because of their obvious aiming at the Azov group in Ukraine, which is clearly, a Nazi admirer, battalion in their military, these other folks decided, well, whoa, wait a minute, there must be some good Nazis then because they're in the Ukraine. And I think this is just, yeah, I you know, it's just nuts, right? It's not, it's not even worth talking about. It's how stupid this is. And it goes to show you, where we are as a intellectually on some of these things.
I thought maybe for a minute there that the 118-49 might have been a cricket score, but I don't know much
Well,
about cricket,
for all
do so.
intents and purposes, it might as well be because this is just, I'm sorry, if you find a cure for cancer, but it came out of Moscow, we're not going to take that cure. We'll all die rather than, accept that there's a cure for cancer invented by a Russian. I mean, this is how stupid this has become.
Well, in some cases, I think the UN has lost its mandate, and it's becoming a little ridiculous. Like, who is it that's in charge of the Human Rights Tribunal now?
Yeah, I know. I know.
It's almost like the way the Olympic International Olympic Committee is moving. Right? What do they have coming up this year? Break dancing.
You made that up, right?
No.
Come on.
Apparently, there's a, yeah, there'll be a
I gotta
gold.
fact check that, you know.
Well, we could, but if it is a
Break
break dance,
dancing is an Olympic sport.
this is totally inane. This
Oh,
next thing you know, we're going to be having a tiddlywink championship or something. I just.
well, that's as funny as the study that says that chocolate makes middle-aged women happier. They actually had
Well,
a study on that.
it's probably out of the Canada Council grant funds, but you know, the thing that bothers me is that chocolate makes me happy too. Well, should we apply for another grant to see if we can figure out that middle-aged men like chocolate too? Or should we take this to the Human Rights Commission because they
We're not
mentioned,
included.
that's right.
It's
That's right.
so we've been excluded from liking chocolate.
Whether we like it or not, on both counts.
By the way, I should let you know that speaking of being left out or what have you, we weren't left out of the town council meeting here locally. Remember, I told you we were taking on the local council who wanted to spend all our money on a project that nobody asked for. And it looked like at the very end we were going to be beaten down by self-important politicians locally. Well, at the very end, they lost 4-3. And we won. That is the people won. You know,
Who
the
says he won?
geniuses at town council where I live decided that maybe we best not piss off the voters with something they didn't ask for. And in the end they came to their senses. Now, the fact that the town is literally in a huge deficit situation probably had something to do with it. But what a difference a week makes. A week ago it was 6 votes to 1 that they're going to improve something nobody asked for. And democracy being what it is, we all, got on our emails and we got onto the local radio station and we got on the local paper, which is mostly advertising for grocery stores and big box stores. But it worked. And that has been well and truly deep sixed, and they're not even going to go forward with any discussion about that expenditure. So sometimes there's a little bit of hope in the end. I just thought I'd bring that up because, with
Well,
all the
actually,
dark stuff, nobody getting involved,
it kind of ties in. We watched a news broadcast on PBS last night at supper, and the journalist was out talking to people across America, and how do they feel about politicians, politics, whatever. And by and large, nobody had anything good to say about any politicians. But the end of the last 15 minutes of this, the interviewer talked to a retired federal court judge, a university professor, and a retired state governor. And their comment basically was that we realize that people are annoyed. And a lot of this has to do with the fact that we really don't know who our neighbors are anymore.
true.
And if we could get together and chit chat, you might be a Democrat, you might be a Republican, up here in Canada, you might be a conservative, you might be a liberal, you might be a New Democrat. But the reality really boils down to the fact that and until you start talking to people, the political parties seem to be very, very happy to demonize the other groups and drive that wedge down. So one of the things that I believe it was the the retired federal court judge said, which ties in very quickly with what you were just mentioning. In the United States in particular, our Constitution, he said, is we the people, not we the government, not we the elected officials. It's we the people. And like a lot of things in what we look at now is that we have to sit back and say, if we don't like something, we have to get out and vote. And we have to look at other things other than just straight politics. Like what is it that we have to do to get back and get back onto an even keel, to take that wedge away, you know? And I don't know what it's going to take. I really don't.
Well, you know, the worst, the democracy is all about transparency and truth. And you know, both of those are in short supply at the moment in various quarters for various reasons. So, you know, we're not this over the fence discussion of ours isn't long enough for us to get into a long debate over why no truth and why no transparency? But we can certainly figure out who are the folks who are pulling those levers of no transparency and no truth. But it's occasionally you do break through. I mean, I know it was a very minor, you know, this little town that I live in, and this whole thing was cranked up by, I'll say perhaps well-meaning, in parentheses here. Well-meaning people who wanted to spend other people's money. Okay. I'll give them that much. But in fact, it was not a viable proposal once you got to the people whose pockets you were fleecing. And we did speak up, and we did collectively come together. And I, you know, your point about meeting your neighbors, there's people I met I otherwise would not have met, who also felt strongly about, you know, the kind of stuff that was being foisted upon us as ratepayers over something as mundane as building a sewer. Now, that may not be a big deal in the grand scheme of things for people who are listening to us right now, you know, who are talking about Gaza or world peace or nuclear, you know, proliferation or whatever. But, you know, it's the little victories that pile up that give you some hope for the future. And the truth was revealed that nobody asked for this sewer. And the transparency was that you don't have the money for it. So no matter how you dressed it up, that the people who you want to have eating cake all the time, you know, to go back to the French Revolutionary times when Marie Antoinette said, let them eat cake, you know, we didn't want the cake. And in the end, it was defeated. And it's a tiny victory in a small town. But those are the things that can you know, give you some hope going forward. Because you know, when you look at things like the US, particularly now, this lawfare that's going on between the Democrats and the Republicans, and the latest thing, this Colorado, I think is exceedingly dangerous, because it's really at the top of mind for a lot of people, and the extremists on both sides are going to be really pumped up. And I made the comment to a friend of mine this afternoon. I said, you know, this is kind of like the Fort Sumter of lawfare, because these people have fired a shot across the bow of basically the Constitution of the United States, which is the only thing that has been solid for over 200 years. And they're messing about with something they ought not to mess about with, especially when they're really, really extremist views being tossed around. You know, so it as one commentator on one of the news broadcasts, it's like a powder keg, and these what I would call judicial dimwits, you know, are throwing matches on top of this powder keg. This is a very dangerous thing, because you know, emotion drives the process, and it's, you know, when you look at the things that are not working, you know, despite the lying to you about everything is great, or if you want to know where the money's going, we're not going to tell you because they don't want to be transparent on that. You know, this is the thing. Democracy is based on truth and transparency, and those are really in short supply, as I said earlier. And then, you know, that's a domestic challenge. And you know, you're down there now in the US for holidays. You probably, you know, feel it more than when you read about it when you're outside of the country. But you know, they just did a we well one of our colleagues just sent us a note about the southern border, and you're very close to it. And he said yesterday was a record-breaking day. 12,600 or so illegal aliens were encountered at the border, but you're not too far from at the moment. It's the highest single day total ever. Now, how does a country like the United States, which is supposed to be the superpower and, you know, the leader of the free world and blah, 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 it doesn't, you know, it worries more about the border with Russia and Ukraine and has its own back door. This is absurd, you know. And so these numbers just keep getting worse, according to Bob, the other Bob who sent us this information. You know, and this is not media stuff. This is right from, because he has direct links into the Border Service, the CBP and the Border Patrol. This is outrageous. You know, I don't know how you maintain any sort of semblance of law and order when you just don't even bother to deal with your back door. You know, come into my house, steal me blind, and walk out the front door. I mean, that's really what they're doing on a massive scale.
It's also interesting too that that Texas has signed into law now that they will arrest.
But you see, this is the thing. Texas has to do something that the federal government should be doing, right?
Well, that's true, but you know the federal government, it's kind of like a catch and release program, right? And they're getting in trouble. I saw on the local news down here now they're separating families again, and I don't know what the answer is there, but.
The
But I
answer
guess
is
what,
you've got a law, enforce it or change the law.
well, that's true because I know, and this is again anecdotally, when I worked many, many decades ago, one of our ports of entry decided that in cooperation with the prosecution side and the adjudication side, that when somebody arrived without documents, they would just lock them up. And every 7 days, they would have a hearing and they would be held locked up and in detention until some kind of documentation could be produced for them. Well, lo and behold, that particular port of entry went from basically 10 to 15 asylum claimants a day to none.
To none.
To none. And to me, that's a very big revelation. Is that the right word? Anyway, you obviously don't fear for your life if being thrown in jail was going to be the deterrent. You know, are you just coming here to get in and do what you want to do? What is to work illegally? I don't know what the things are, but I guess going back now, if Texas is going to arrest and detain these people, and they will be put in jail or incarcerated. Will that stop the flow
We don't
through
have
Texas?
enough jails to
People
put these
now go to
people in.
California and to Arizona. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's indicative of the, I think, another item we were going to talk about, which is the decline of the US in the world. You know, they're declining internally. And if you can't control your own border, how are you going to talk about being the superpower that's going to tell other folks how to, you know, behave themselves? You can't behave in your own house to the satisfaction of the people who live there, and you've developed a mindset that is really corrosive. You've got just polar opposites continually, and this one is, you know, when they say America can't decide its place in the world, it can't decide what it wants to do domestically with the outside world, you know. You know, if you look at the polls, the leadership, most of the leadership in North America is, as far, if you believe the polls, are, you know, nearing toilet levels, going down. I mean, Trudeau in Canada and Biden in the US, neither one of those could be elected dog catching given the polls, except that there's no election right now. And of course, they'll both tell you, well, we don't care what polls say. Well, the fact is that the polls do direct money to their coffers for election purposes. The result of the Gaza situation at the moment is who would have thought 2.5 months ago when this all started that it would be flipped on its head, and the aggressor now is Israel, and the hard done by is a Hamas terrorist organization. Now, when you look at the impact of what's happening on the ground in Gaza, it's horrendous. But you know what? We've been watching that for 2.5 years in Ukraine, and no one gives a darn about that. Once the money runs out, that's fine. We move on. And there's no stomach for giving any more money to that corrupt bunch in Kiev anymore. And they've basically worn out their welcome in various capitals, asking for money. And then you have a majority of Americans who are completely baffled by the way their own government is treating them. It's bizarre. I mean, this is at the end of the year. 2023, I think, should be called the year of bizarro, because we have talked about stuff this year that if in Hollywood, you couldn't write this stuff up.
Well, coupled with the lax control that is going on as far as immigration is concerned, both on the US border and in I think even in the Canadian border.
Well, we don't have a, our policy is no policy in Canada.
Well, it be that what it is. Dutch people elected a very right-wing government. I see France is passing an immigration reform bill. Hungary, places like that are starting to sit back and say, enough is enough here. We've got to control this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
Where's that?
the that's right, because in France they've discovered they simply don't have enough money to make welfare benefits to people who are there illegally. The days of well, why don't you come to France because we're like the Foreign Legion, everybody can come in and participate. Those days are over, even with a government like Macron's, who's come to how many of their cities in the last 2 years have had fires every night of cars being burned. They only talk, the amount of violence that goes on in major cities in France isn't even reported anymore. The police that we have contacts with, there are places in Paris that are utterly no-go areas in Paris. We knew about those in Strasbourg. We knew about those in Marseille for years. But now this has become a cancer that's again metastasized throughout France. And it's the same bunch, frankly, that are the culprits. And then if you look at the demonstrations in Canada, as a result of the
It goes
Hamas
back to an earlier comment about the people that don't know the difference between a C clan and a K clan. How does it, when you go into a municipal city council meeting to demand a ceasefire,
I know it's bizarre. You can go and do what we did to demand not to build a sewer in our town, but we're not going to go to the town council and demand a ceasefire in a country 10,000 kilometers away. Okay, I mean, this is silly. But what is not silly and which is exceedingly dangerous is allowing people who have come here in the last, I would say, 5 to 10 years, who share none of the values, legal, the culture, the rule of law, the acceptance of the rule of law that the majority community follows, and they just go around completely upending everything because they demand that the community that welcomed them change over to their way of thinking. And you see this in peaceful places like Toronto and Vancouver and Calgary. These are normal, these are places where no one ever thought of this. The folks who came to the country apparently were trying to leave violence. And what do? They extol violence on the street for an issue that there's nothing really that can be done at this end for that particular conflict. And then, to resurrect things like anti-Semitism, talk about destroying churches and synagogues because that's not what they like. I mean, come on, something very weird is going on here. I'm not being very articulate on this at the moment because we're not just grousing over stuff that we've seen over the year here. But there's some very strange things going on, which I don't know. Is there some evil in the water that is being consumed? I don't. Is that a virus? Is evil a virus that you can spread? Because that's evil stuff. When people are being pushed onto subway tracks because they don't like them for whatever reason, and then nothing ever really happens, or we'll go down a
Well,
rabbit hole here, so stop.
it kind of goes to the another little pet peeve of mine with these people are out disrupting traffic and disrupting civic duties and obligations held by mayors and council people, and nothing happens to them. But we've got those two individuals that dared to go to Ottawa and have semi-tractor trailers blowing horns that, they're still dicking around trying to figure out what they're going to do with them, is.
Yeah, I know. I know. And people see that. And all the word salading done by the leadership is really starting to look old and tired. I mean, it's not even a function of age. They're just old and tired. And the folks who pay their paychecks are, they're getting tired. But in a very vocal way, it seems. I mean, we're talking about it, and we're just two guys, over the fence chatting about it. But when you look at again, one of the stats here that today 62% of Americans, and I dare say probably Canadians and perhaps Europeans alone, but this is a US study, live paycheck to paycheck right now. Period. 62%. Okay.
Wow.
And
What?
1% of the population has like 45% of the wealth. Something's screwy here.
Yeah. Well, I think, well, even before we left, and it would have been within the month before we left, one of the economists in Vancouver was saying the latest study then, so 6 weeks ago now, the average Canadian was living on $200 between that and whether they're going to have to give up their house or make a decision whether they're going to be able to go to work or fill up the car. I mean,
Yeah.
and $200 is not a lot of money
I don't,
to
that's
live on
peanuts.
in the course of a
And in
month.
fact, this is exactly what was top of mind for me when we went again in microcosm here with the town council here about the stupid sewer. You seem to spend money, other people's money, so cavalierly, and then dress yourself up as some sort of leader of the town and looking forward. And you're going, this is not the time to do this. You should be worrying about and not just worrying, but acting in a way to help the citizens that you supposedly want to represent and make their lives better. Well, spending money they don't have is not making their lives better, and this is kind of a general theme, particularly in Canada. As you know, we're taxed to the hilt. I think we're the probably over most taxed people on the face of the earth.
Top of that, I think just to go along with that, isn't the mayor of Toronto now looking at a double digit tax increase because they are so broke, but they're still going to spend, what was it, $4 million changing the name of John A. McDonald Avenue or whatever it
No,
is
it's
to
Dundas Street. Yeah, to some, yeah.
McDonald.
For that, they got money. No, it's. There's something in the water, Bob. I'm telling you. Okay, I have to get my tin hat on for our next show to find out what that is.
Well, we should apply for a Canada Council grant. They probably give us money.
No, I don't think so. I don't think we're on the Christmas list at all.
No, probably not.
No,
Probably not.
no, no.
But anyhow,
But
I see we're kind of winding down, so.
well, it sounds like you're headed for a nice long REST, which is great. I hope that you guys have a good time.
We shall. Yes,
And
thank
think
you.
about us here in the Great White North, freezing our buns off.
Well, we do keep track of that kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. Yeah, it's snowing up there. And you laugh, right?
Yeah, that gets to be that famous government. Gee, it sure sucks to be you.
Well, it's time for us to tell our viewers to make sure they like what they see, subscribe to the channel. We'll be doing some changes next year on some of our broadcasts because we have to start finding sponsors because we have to pay bills now. So there's going to be some changes, and there'll be some shows that we do which you'll have to subscribe to, and it'll be behind a paywall. But we'll give you lots of time to get used to that.
Yeah.
But we're finding that we have a growing little audience, but and for us to maintain the bandwidth, which is to pay for the servers and all the other stuff here, and our time, research and whatever. And if we want to have some guests come on and chat, we have to recompense them. So long and the short of it is, we're looking forward to a good new year. We may see you once more before the new
Before, you
year.
never know.
And in the meantime, everyone have a safe and happy Christmas.
Yes.
Dare I say that?
Absolutely. I think it's a happy holidays, Merry Christmas, whatever.
Exactly.
And also a big thank you to the people that are going to be working over the holidays to keep us safe and secure, and to all those service people who
Absolutely. Hats off
feel.
to them.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All
Well,
right. Well, you stay safe. I
and
won't
you as
say
well.
stay warm because you will be.
I will be.
And we'll talk to you soon.
You betcha.
Adios.
Adios.